It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
I can't believe it happened there again. Hundreds of people walked and drove through the streets of Minneapolis on Saturday and Sunday protesting yet another fatal police shooting of a young black man. This time, it was 22-year-old Amir Locke, who was killed by officers who stormed into a downtown Minneapolis apartment using a no-knock warrant. The warrant didn't name Locke. He wasn't a suspect in any case the police were investigating. He was a DoorDash delivery driver, sleeping on a couch, wrapped in a comforter, when four officers opened the apartment door early Wednesday and rushed in, shouting, "Police, search warrant!" Locke had a gun in his hand. His family said he had recently purchased it, legally, for protection. Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey suspended no-knock warrants in the city after the shooting. I thought they already did that. Enough. Lots of action in the investigation into Donald Trump's involvement with the Capitol uprising. Last week, we learned that the House Select Committee began receiving the White House documents that they had subpoenaed. You know, the release of which Trump fought all the way to the Supreme Court and lost? Well, surprise! They found that many of the documents had been ripped up, destroyed. That's when the stories began circulating about Trump's penchant for destroying official documents, reportedly a regular practice, even though he was told that they had to be retained. Now, the Washington Post reports, quote, "The National Archives actually had to retrieve multiple boxes, an out of the ordinary amount, from Mar-a-Lago, from the former president last month." Amazing. This just underscores that administration's cavalier handling of presidential records. The items included correspondence with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, which Trump once described as love letters, and that letter left by President Obama for his successor. The archives has struggled to cope with Trump, who flouted document retention requirements and frequently ripped up official documents, leaving hundreds of pages taped back together, or some still arrived in pieces. Now, COVID is still raging. The world might think it's done with COVID, but COVID isn't done with us yet. Protests in Canada against COVID-19 restrictions grew over the weekend. The mayor of Ottawa declaring a state of emergency on Sunday following 2 weeks of protests initiated by a group of truckers who began blocking traffic on January 29th. Other protests popped up over the weekend in major cities, including Vancouver, Winnipeg, Toronto, and Quebec City. At least 7 arrests were made on Sunday, and about 450 citations were issued. Meanwhile, the blockades are severely crippling businesses, but some of the protesters say they're not moving until changes are made. GoFundMe was accepting donations to the Canadian trucker protest. Now they say they're going to refund the millions of dollars they've collected. Right-wing and conservative figures have blasted GoFundMe after they decided to shut down the fundraising effort for this massive anti-vaccine protest. Moving down under, Australia said it will reopen its borders to vaccinated travelers this month, ending 2 years of a dead tourism business, reviving migration and injecting billions of dollars into the economy. Though Indonesia has temporarily banned foreign tourists from entering the country through Jakarta's airport as they try to slow down a spike in coronavirus infections there. Might there be some cracks in Teflon Don's armor? Well, last weekend, former Vice President Mike Pence spoke at a meeting of the Federalist Society when he actually called the former guy out.
President Trump said I had the right to overturn the election. President Trump is wrong. I had no right to overturn the election. The presidency belongs to the American people and the American people alone. And frankly, there is no idea more un-American than the notion that any one person could choose the American president.
And then Mike Pence's former chief of staff, Mark Short, appeared on Meet the Press on Sunday and said,
"Of course, there's nothing in the 12th Amendment or the Electoral Count Act that would afford a vice president that authority. It's why no vice president in 200 years has ever used that authority. And it's certainly not one that I think conservatives or Republicans would want Kamala Harris the ability to say she's going to reject votes from Texas or Wyoming or any other state heading into 2024.
Short was with Pence at the Capitol on January 6th when the mob of Trump supporters tried to prevent Congress from certifying Biden's victory, with some of them shouting, "Hang Mike Pence." The only thing surprising here is that it took him over a year to stand up and say Donald Trump was wrong. But even more surprising than them finally coming out fairly forcefully against the former guy was the Wall Street Journal editorial printed Sunday, headlined, "Mike Pence's Constitution. The former vice president stands up to Trump despite the potential political cost." Now, so too has the Wall Street Journal. Here's an excerpt. Quote, "Someone should remind voters that Mr. Trump ended as a three-time election loser. He mobilized Democrats against him in historic numbers to cost the GOP the House in 2018, then the White House in 2020, and finally the two Georgia Senate seats in 2021. We wrote often during his presidency that Democrats couldn't defeat Donald Trump, but Mr. Trump could defeat himself. He did, and his post-election behavior compounded the harm to his party. Republicans who want to repeat the experience may find the electoral result is the same, and this time without the fortunate presence of Mike Pence." That editorial from the Wall Street Journal. In other news, President Biden's National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan warned on Sunday that Russia could invade Ukraine, quote, any day now, though he did add that an attack might not start for weeks. Or Russia could choose to take the diplomatic path instead. Now, wouldn't that be nice? Russia has substantially increased its military presence near Ukraine since December. Biden has vowed to impose harsh economic sanctions if Russia invades. Moscow's calling the allegations it plans to invade U.S. propaganda. Meanwhile, French President Emmanuel Macron flies to Moscow Monday in a risky diplomatic move, seeking commitments from Russian President Vladimir Putin that he'll dial down tensions with Ukraine. U.S. President Joe Biden meets with the new Chancellor of Germany, Olaf Scholz, at the White House today, where they will underscore their unity in opposing any Russian aggression. And finally, the Olympics are underway. Yeah, the 2022 Winter Olympics are currently happening in Beijing. And it's kind of a low-key affair. But I got a team for you to root for. Jamaica has qualified for three Olympic bobsled events. Four-man, two-man, and one-woman monobob.
Okay.
Now, this is remarkable because think about it. Jamaica has no snow. They have no winter. But this move repeats the feat they accomplished over 20 years ago. The schedule for the bobsledding begins on February 10th with the medal service for the four-man team on February 20th. Your assignment before this time comes is to find the film Cool Runnings and watch it. That's the story of the original Jamaican bobsled team that went to the Olympics. And it's classic. Enjoy. I got the And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is fully listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.